Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good afternoon. I need to start with a couple of stories. Mary Lou was the person I was supposed to work with. I drove all the way to Clarkston, Michigan. Anybody know where Clarkston is? It's almost to Detroit. I live in Farwell. And when I got there, her husband came out to meet me, and he said, I don't know how to tell you this, but she just reached over to pick something off the floor, and her hip went out. I thought, okay. When I went inside, she's sitting on a chair. Obviously, she wasn't going anywhere. So I prayed with her and her husband, and I got back in my car and prayed again. Oh, Lord, you didn't bring me to Clarkston for nothing. What do you want me to do? And when there's no literature evangelist in the area, they send the leads to Jay. So he said, well, what about those leads up by Bay City? So I headed towards Bay City. I was on the way home, and I'll work in that area until I go home. And after Bay City, I had one in Freeland. It was an old lead. It was like a year old. And I pulled in, and the lady met me. It was cold. I remember the snow was gone, but I remember that I was dressed for winter. Okay? And she came out in her bare feet through the garage, and she said, come on in, and we went into the garage, and she stopped. And that's as far as we were going. And she's standing in her bare feet. And I'm cold thinking about it. Those bare feet, I mean, you know. And so I said, would you mind if we just stepped in where it's warm so you don't freeze? And she said, okay. So we stepped in just past the back door, and I gave my canvas on the washer and dryer. Okay? And everybody's seen the Bible stories, right? I need to show these to you because there's word going out that these books aren't around anymore. If you're a grandparent and your grandchildren don't have these books, now's a good time to invest in your grandchildren. She said, I'm suffering with, it was a rare kind of cancer, and she said, I'm unemployed because of that, and I thought, well, I know how that goes. She said, but I have a little nest egg for important things, and I believe this is important. Now, she didn't have any children. She's buying these for her nieces and nephews, and she purchased the Bible stories with the Desire of Ages for her nieces and nephews. And then she said, when I brought them into the house, she said, now, I'm going to have to give these to my nieces and nephews unwrapped. I said, really? She said, yeah, because I'm going to have to read them myself. I said, praise the Lord. Because there are a lot of people out there who don't know their Bibles. There are a lot of people that don't know the stories of the Bible. And that gives us every tellable story in the Bible. She said before I left, she said, you know, I believe that God sent you here today. Now, I hope that God didn't have to put Mary Lou's hip out of joint. But God used that experience to reach that soul at the right time in the right place. And I thank God for that. I was working in Detroit a couple months ago, and yes, we do go to Detroit. And we knocked on this door, and it was one of those senior homes, you know, where you have to have a buzzer and you have to be able to. Somebody was kind enough to say, who are you trying to find? And she lives back there. So we went. It was the farthest apartment back. We went. It was about a half a block by the way we walked, all the way around the building, clear back to the very, very back. And she had sent in a request for our health materials. And we knocked on the door and went in and started talking to this lady. And she said, you know, I was just praying this morning that someone would come and help me with my health problems. And here you are. Now, is that accidental? Is that incidental? No, that's the working of the Holy Spirit. That's the angel saying, my lady needs you today. My lady needs you today. We were just out of Ann Arbor just this week. And I said to the Lynch evangelist, you know, we were at this house earlier. I believe God wants us to go back there. And we got back there and the gentleman was happy to see us. He wanted his wife, she makes the decision. Does that happen in your house? The wife makes the decision? But he said, well, if I could, I'd like to see. Well, sure, we could show you right now if you had a minute. So we showed him. He said, I'd like to get these books. My daughter needs these books. So we have an appointment this week to show his wife so she can make her decision as well. God needs workers. And God needs supporters of God's work. Our scripture this morning is from 2 Timothy. It said, all scripture, I'm going right to the heart of it, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that you and I can be perfect. That's what it says. Today, we want to focus. You'll notice in your bulletin, the title of the message is Straight from the Hand of God. So, for illustration, here's a card from my wife. It's getting old, but I still carry it. It has very few words because she found out that though I love books, I'm not much of a reader. I love those books. They got pictures on every page opening. And there's a few words, and she spent, you know, a long time at the Hallmark store finding this card. So it would be just say the right thing, right? But what is the most important part of this card? Is it the beautiful foil and the picture, the little 10 words of message? What's the most beautiful part of the card? What she wrote with her own hand, right? That's the most important part. It says, Mr. T, happy 25th, Mrs. T. Now that's only 5 or 6 words. I'm being careful because the teacher's on the front row. Okay? That's the most important part. So that's what we're going to look at today, is the most important part of the Bible, and that's what God wrote with his own hand. Okay? And we've already read the Ten Commandments, so let's go quickly to Exodus 20. And I appreciate the fact that the hymnal had all words of God in the reading. And it begins, I am the Lord your God that have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What does that mean to us? I am the Lord your God that have brought you out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt. God is telling his people, I've already saved you. Isn't that what he's saying? And the Ten Commandments are a transcript of God's character, correct? And in the Bible, names represent the character, right? So you have Jacob, the serplanter, right? But no, no, no. When he's converted, God says, no, your name is no longer Jacob. It's Israel, a prince of God. So here God's saying, I have already brought you out of bondage. Out of the house of Egypt. Egypt in the Bible represents sin, right? So, sisters and brothers, today, God has brought us out of bondage. He says so right here. And because of that, you can put it therefore right after that. Therefore, because I brought you out of bondage, you will have no other gods before me. Now that changes the commandment into a promise, doesn't it? Because all God's biddings are enablings. Amen. So God's promises are now all 10 commandments. Let's look at them real quick. Because I brought you out of bondage to sin, You'll have no other gods before me. You'll not make under you any graven image, any likeness of anything. You'll not bow down to them or serve them. Because I brought you out of bondage, you won't take my name in vain. There's nobody here that hasn't taken God's name. But it's not in vain, because he's already brought us out of bondage. Because I brought you out of bondage, you will remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you'll labor and do all your work, but a seventh day, that's our day together. Because I brought you out of bondage, you'll honor your father and your mother. Because I brought you out of bondage already, you'll not kill or commit adultery or steal or bear false witness. Because I brought you out of bondage, you'll not covet anything from anybody. So here we have a picture of God's character, and in the New Testament it says God is love. So the very first thing that God writes with his own finger, he writes love. And notice how he wrote it, or what he wrote it on. What did he write it on? Stone, right? It never changes. It's always going to say the same thing. So first thing we find is God wrote love, and he wrote it in stone. Let's go over to Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. And while you're switching pages here, I'll give you a little breakdown of what's happening. Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar is throwing a big feast to blaspheme God. That was the whole reason for the feast. Why? Well, Babylon is under siege. Do you have a party when you're under siege? Does Belshazzar know that his kingdom is going to end? Yes. Daniel 2, right? Nebuchadnezzar got the dream, and it told it's going to come an end, right? Tradition says that the Babylonians actually threw food over the wall to the Medo-Persians. You're going to need this before we do. They had 20 years' supply of food. They had water. The Euphrates River ran right through the middle of the city. They had all the water they could use. They're not worried about anything. And God is not a part of Babylon. And so, in verse 5, the blasphemous feast is on. The vessels from God's holy temple are brought in, and they drink wine, intoxicating liquor, defiling them. And in verse 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw part of the hand that wrote. And it shook him up, right? Literally, it shook him up. It says his knees knocked together. Ever been so scared that your knees knocked together? That's how the king was. And he calls for all the magicians and the soothsayers and the astrologers, and they cannot read the writing. But mother knows best, doesn't she? Well, all you have to do is call Daniel. Daniel will be able to read it. And so Daniel comes in. And he tells the king, you knew all about this. You knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. How he ate grass for 7 years. Until he confessed that God was in control. But you haven't made that decision for yourself. Verse 25. Daniel chapter 5, verse 25. This is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Every seventh day of us knows those words. We know what they mean, right? Mene. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. What is that? Sounds like judgment, right? Judgment. Tekel. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Do we have any lawyers here? What do they have on their sign, right? The balance. They're the They're the one that's going to balance out the law for you. Judgment. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Three times God says, judgment, judgment, judgment. So here we find God writing judgment in fire. First he writes love in stone, unchangeable. Those Ten Commandments on those stones are still on the earth today. Hidden, but they're there. They still say the same thing. And now we find God writing judgment in fire. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Early in the morning, Jesus has come to the temple and he's teaching. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. We all know this story, right? There's no question about guilt. She's taken in the very act. Now Moses, they said, in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Now they think they've got Jesus trapped because if he says stone her, then they run to the Romans. Aha, he's taking your authority, right? And if he says let her go, which they thought he might, then they go to the people and say, see, he doesn't believe Moses. He's not teaching Moses. And everybody loved and honored Moses. But what does Jesus do? Got awful quiet in here, didn't it? And that's what it did that morning. It got awful quiet in there. And it says that from the oldest to the youngest, they slipped out. Why the oldest? Because in the Middle Eastern culture and the Eastern culture, the older the person, the more clout they carry. So the oldest one has to go first. Otherwise, nobody's going to move. They pushed him, it says. They pressed him. Well, what do you say? Jesus raised himself up and he gave what the woman thought was her death sentence. He said, he that is without sin among you, throw the first stone. And she knew she was doomed because those Pharisees were always telling people how perfect they were. Right? That's right. And then he stooped down and wrote more in the sand. And when Jesus, verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. I'm taking your sin on me. Go and sin no more. So now we have God writing mercy in the dust. Mercy for the woman? Absolutely. What about for the Pharisees? Mercy for those Pharisees. They now have another chance to make that decision to accept Jesus as the Messiah. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. God is speaking. It's actually a quote from the Old Testament. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Okay, who's he talking to? Paul's writing to the Hebrews, correct? And who are the Hebrews? God's people, right? So he's writing to us. That's why it's written in here, is for us, right? So here, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. So let's put that in 2016, okay? This is a covenant that I'm going to make with the saints in Midland, Michigan. Okay? That's what he's saying. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Over in chapter 10 and verse 16, repeats the same thing. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart and write them on their mind. So one place he writes it on the heart, the other place he writes it in the mind. The mind is where we make our choices, right? He's writing his law in our minds so we can make the choices. The other place he writes it in our heart, that's where we get the energy, the strength. When your mind is dead, you're dead, right? When your heart is dead, you're dead. And so both the choice and the ability to do it, he's going to write his law in our hearts, in our minds. So first we have God writing his love in stone, then judgment in fire, then mercy in the dust, and now his law in our heart, in our mind. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh, who's that? Us.
Well, don't say that so silently.
Him that overcometh, who's that? Us. Praise God. Didn't he say, go and sin no more? He did. He says that to us. I'm taking your sin. To him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. God's going to write his new name. His new name. Think about that. His new name on me and on you. Wow. Cross the page, chapter 2 and verse 17. Again to the overcomer. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. In my card is a... Very few people call me Mr. T. Okay? Some for obvious reasons and some for not so obvious reasons. We have a special name for our special person, right? You have a special name for your one? Come on. You don't have to tell us what it is. You have one, though. Okay. God is going to write on a white stone a special name that's only between you and him. Wow. Praise God is right. A white stone with a pet name. Only you and Jesus know that name. What a God we serve. I skipped my favorite one. We'll go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49. And I'm going to start with verse 13. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth unto singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. That sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? What's the next word? But. I don't like that word a lot of times, and this is one of those times. But Zion. Who's Zion? God's people. But God's people said, the Lord hath forsaken us. The Lord hath forgotten me. Verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Mothers, shall we take a vote? Can a mother forget it? I see a big shake over here. Oh, no. Never, right? God says, yes, that may happen, even if that's possible, mothers. Even if that's possible. They may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Verse 16, behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. Behold, I have written your names on the palms of my hands. All through eternity, the only reminder of sin in all the universe will be my name written in the palms of Jesus' hands. Your name written in the palms of Jesus' hands. Behold, I have graven you. It's a printing term. I have engraven you in the palms of my hands. First, God writes his love in stone, unchangeable. Then he writes judgment in fire, mercy in the dust. He writes his law on our heart and our mind. And then he writes on us his new name. Nobody should leave those doors without a big smile on their face today, because Jesus has graven you on the palms of his hands. My challenge to you this afternoon as we close is, remember this week that person that cuts you off in the traffic, that clerk at the store is nasty and they're there. A dog, the one that sicks their dog on you. Have you ever had a dog sicked on you? We knock on doors and it happens. That person has their name engraved in the palms of Jesus' hands. And you may be the only Jesus that they see this week. May God help us, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.